the use of prisoners as sources of organs, an ethically dubious practice. That's the title of an article in the October 2011 issue of the American Journal of Bioethics. The author states that, quote, "The movement to try and close the ever-widening gap between demand and supply of organs by creative strategies has recently arrived at the prison gate." The author is Art Kaplan of the Center for Bioethics at the University of Pennsylvania, and he joins us now on the Bioethics Channel. Dr. Kaplan, before we talk about prisoners, let's talk about some of the other novel ideas for obtaining organs that you note in your article, such as donor ambulances.
So there are proposals around to try and increase the supply of potential cadaver organ donors. One idea is to institute a donor ambulance program. What that would mean is, since most people die outside hospital settings, when the ambulance comes or the EMT people come, they often pronounce people dead out in the field, out in the streets. If you had a donor ambulance that had the ability to provide life support to their organs once they'd been pronounced dead, it might be possible to then bring them to the hospital and see if you could secure a consent for organ donation. The problem is oftentimes people die in the street or in a house. They're alone. There are no relatives around, so you don't have any permission to attach them to this equipment in this donor ambulance. And I also suspect that some poor people are going to get pretty angry if donor ambulances show up to get organs, but real ambulances don't show up when they call them to come to poor neighborhoods in particular. They're either afraid to go there or they don't think they're going to get paid. So you get that kind of anger that you're interested in me when I'm dead because you want my organs, but you didn't care about me when I was alive to send an ambulance to see if it could save me.
You know, whenever I hear a story like that, I wonder if we've reached an extreme when it comes to seeking out organ donors. Have we reached an extreme?
Well, we're pushing the extremes. There's another idea that if you have a living will and it says, allow me to die peacefully and don't prolong my life, but if you also have signed a donor card, which trumps which? And it seems to be pretty clear, if you want to respect the idea that people should be dead before we really start thinking about them as organ donors, then you have to honor their living will requests and not do anything that makes their dying less comfortable or prolonged. But others suggest that maybe we should do things by administering drugs that would preserve organs while they're still alive, or do things that might make them live a bit longer in order to get at those organs. I think that's bad policy, but again, it raises those questions about trust, about are we pushing too hard to try and find organs, even though there is no doubt that we absolutely need those organs. There are certainly many, many people dying every day because they don't have an organ to transplant to them.
So let's move to a discussion of prisoners donating organs. Why would some of us think that's a good idea?
Well, I think many people look at the prison population and they say, look, some of them are being executed, so why don't we use them as organ donors? They're going to die. Maybe some of them would want to be organ donors. And you know what? Even if they don't want to be organ donors, don't they owe society something back if they're going to be executed for terrible crimes? Let's use them. Others look at prisoners and say, even if they're not going to get executed, they have two kidneys, and maybe we could use them as a source at least of kidneys and say you can go on parole or you can get a shortened sentence or have less nasty quarters in prison if you're willing to help others by giving up a kidney. So you have both a possibility of using cadaver sources who are executed prisoners, and you also have the possibility of maybe using living prisoners to get a kidney out of them.
What are some practical considerations about this idea that make it less than conceivable?
Well, I think the idea sounds initially attractive, but as I tried to say in the article, it actually doesn't really pan out. The first major problem, and it applies to both executed prisoners and living prisoners, is that they're not in good, healthy environments. There are prisons are rife with HIV, hepatitis. These are diseases that people pick up either before they wind up in prison or give to one another when they are in prison. it makes their organs not at all useful for transplanting to anybody. A lot of prisoners are also overweight and on poor diets. I know the media makes it seem as if everybody in prison is kind of a Arnold Schwarzenegger exercising all day, and there are a few of those, but most people don't eat well, don't exercise. Most prisoners are also older. They have spent a lot of time on long sentences. There are a lot of medical disqualifiers, having a disease, being overweight, being too old, that really do apply to the prison population. And that's true both for folks on death row who go through the appeals process forever and wind up being relatively old by the time they get executed, and for prisoners just in there for short stays who often are in bad shape or pick up a communicable disease.
Then there are moral and ethical concerns. In the article, you state that the number of potential donors from this population is small anyway.
Well, if you looked at executed prisoners, it turns out that there really are no more than a small handful of people executed every year in the United States. Many states have just dropped execution. There are only a few still doing it. While we are certainly in the top 10 of nations executing people, it's not a big number. It is probably altogether between federal and state prisons well under 150 people. That's not going to generate many organs. And then many of them get executed in ways that make it impossible for them to be sources of organs. So if you give them a lethal injection and you poison their hearts and their livers and that's what kills them, then you're not going to be able to use them as organ donors. If you shoot them, you can't use them as organ donors if you damage all the organs. So probably the easiest and simplest way to turn them into organ donors is to guillotine them, which basically creates brain death, but that isn't a mode of execution that I think we're going to see in the United States because it would be deemed cruel and unusual. So a lot of the very ways we execute folks and the small number that there are, plus the ill health that they're often in and their age, you basically wipe out the whole idea that you could use executed prisoners as sources of organs. On the living side, obviously, you don't have execution considerations, but you do have issues about can they consent? Can they really choose? Prison populations, when we think about human experimentation, are always deemed vulnerable because of the coercive environments they live in. I'm not sure you want to let them pick organ donation because they can't really choose. They're not really free to do it. They're kind of very attracted by the prospect of some freedom or better conditions. And then for other people, you might say, look, this guy robbed me. I don't want him coming out because he donated a kidney. He should serve his time. Part of the ethics problem is if you're trading off organs in order to reward prisoners, then the whole point of punishing them sort of falls away. You start to turn them into heroes. The people who they harmed or hurt or get angry because they're not serving their sentences, they're winding up being praised in the newspaper as helpful, useful contributors to society, and that isn't what the guy who gets smashed in the head or a woman who got raped exactly wants to hear about the person who harmed them. So we have a real tension, if you will, between the redemption that we like to associate with being a source of an organ and the punishment that we think of as being appropriate as the rationale for sending somebody to a prison.
And then you have the situation where the governor of Mississippi in January 2011 released sisters in prison in return for one donating a kidney to the other. That opened a lot of questions, didn't it?
It did. Governor of Mississippi, Haley Barbour, offered early parole to two sisters who'd been in prison for a robbery for a long time. And the sisters said, look, one of us needs kidney dialysis, our kidney's failing. The other one volunteered a kidney to her sister, and he said, because you're going to do that, I'll let you out. Well, it turns out that the volunteer sister, for health reasons, couldn't give up a kidney. She was way too fat, way too obese, and suffering from other chronic illnesses, probably diabetes, although I don't know that, but they said she had other serious chronic illnesses that were contraindications. They both came out of prison. Nobody got a transplant. They're in Florida. I'm presuming the state of Florida, not Mississippi, is now picking up the cost of the dialysis. Neither is in prison. And what we have is kind of a intervention by the governor to, in one sense, reduce the cost of an expensive prisoner, producing two people out who didn't do anything to merit shortening their sentence.
Moving on to another question. Would not recipients and their families be a bit leery of receiving an organ from a prisoner, conceivably someone convicted of murder?
Well, you do have the fact that occasionally somebody says, I don't want to take an organ from someone who is a bad person. You occasionally get this in a suicide situation where someone killed themselves, or child abuse where somebody beat a child to death and then the organs are made available to others. I have to say, however, probably 97 times out of 100, people facing death overcome their initial emotional and psychological resistance. That doesn't turn out to be a major issue for but a small, tiny handful of people.
You conclude by stating that this proposed practice needs to be carefully regulated and assessed on a case-by-case basis.
I think on the capital punishment side, executed prisoners, there's nothing to talk about. There are not enough of them. They're too sick. They're too old. The way we kill them would make organ donation impossible. And if you start to modify it the way they're killed, you're going to have doctors intimately involved in the execution. That violates other ethics problems about not being involved in execution. It's not going to work. On the living side, there may be a prisoner who's in there because they sold marijuana or committed an accounting fraud or something, where we would say, look, it's consistent with our view of punishment and rehabilitation to let them donate a kidney. And if we could set up the right reviews and let them talk to the right independent boards, then maybe we would trust their consent. So I do think there you might be able to get some donors on an independent basis with the right infrastructure, looking at it case by case. Now remember, again, most of these folks are going to be exposed in prison to some pretty nasty diseases or have some bad habits that make them ineligible. So I don't think there's going to be as many potential donors there as people think, and then they have to want to do it, and a lot of them don't. But you may find a few. So I think case-by-case review is the way to go with respect to using a prisoner as a living donor.
Art Kaplan is with the Center for Bioethics at the University of Pennsylvania. His article, The Use of Prisoners as Sources of Organs, an Ethically Dubious Practice, can be found in the October 2011 issue of the American Journal of Bioethics. For more information, visit bioethics.net. That's bioethics.net. I'm Laurel LeBoux. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.